Steel and Naz here. We're back after, you know, 5-6 week hiatus pre-Super Bowl. We're here Saturday, March 13th, right before St. Patrick's Day. Basically, St. Patrick's Day weekend. What's going on, Steel?
St. Patrick's Day weekend. What do you think's going on? Let's fucking go.
Yep. Got the U-Green on. Got it going. I'm hitting the town tonight. It's going to be fun. Fun and good action.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong spot. Wrong spot for St. Patrick's Day, but going the North End, which is the Italian way of St. Paddy's Day. So maybe we'll find a, I don't know, a detour on the way home. We'll see
how it goes. There's a Guinness somewhere.
Yeah. JJ's. My plans. Today's Saturday, March 13th. I'll throw out our first sponsor here. If you're looking for legal proper representation for first-time homebuyers or any year for that means, look no further than the law offices of Patrick J. Foley, located at 265 Willard Street, Quincy, Massachusetts. Guy has been on the program plenty of times. Have to get him back on, maybe for the NFL draft talk, even though I'm not a big draft guy. But, you know, we'll see. I'd love to talk to him again.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Best there is.
Oh, yeah. I think Magic might hop on teaser here. And then the link is out in the group chat. We said this before we kind of got on here. I think Craig Hines could get on here at any point. So just head on a swivel. Be ready.
Yeah, got to be ready. Got to be looking backstage.
If there's a way for Money Showtime, he's going to make it happen. So, I mean, don't get your hopes up, but don't completely put him down either. Yeah,
don't count him out.
Yeah. So the boring stuff, we'll start with that. The Patriots' aftermath of losing a Super Bowl. We haven't been on since I think I looked at the date. It was like February 1st. It was a week before. Obviously we don't have to recap the game, but tough end of the season there. Offensive line got exploited. Drake made it have a good game. Defense played pretty well. They were a couple plays away, and then at the end, I think they just kind of got catapulted.
Yeah, just absolutely shitbagged by a team that was better than them. Like that's literally what happened.
I think I you know, we'll touch on a little bit, but I think they had their chances early. If they had, you know, if that Marcus Jones makes that pick, if Christian Gonzalez makes the pick at the goal line at the end of the half, keep it a one possession game. Never know what can happen, but that I guess that's a glass half full mentality because they fucking sucked.
They were terrible.
I mean, even though they let up, 29 points, call it 22 because of the pick six. Defense, I thought, played phenomenal.
I mean, Christian Gonzalez had like three absolutely incredible plays in that fucking. But
he was going to get paid anyway, I think, but that game should solidify him getting paid by more and hopefully by the Patriots, but he's going to get paid.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Credit to Seahawks defense. I mean, they were flying.
Will Campbell, no shot.
No.
Those corner blitzes, those safety blitzes, Drake May, he was the ones all week. We were like, Sam Darnold's finally going to see ghosts. And he wasn't good either, but like, come on now. Drake May had a tough one.
I mean, not good at all.
Oh, yeah. Tough to go. But we are now in the offseason here. We just went through the first week of free agency. You know, talk with other teams. Wednesday was officially the new calendar of the year. I'll just mention the guys we lost, notably Kayvon Chaisson, who had a great year. DN wise, we cut Stephon Diggs because he was going to make like 20 mil this year. I think that's for the best, but and then Kyrus Tonga went to the Chiefs. Jalen Hawkins, I believe he went to the Commanders. But those are the guys we lost. Guys we got back: Romeo Doubs, Elijah Garrett Tucker. I think that's his name, right?
Yep.
Kevin Byard, who's a dog.
Yep.
I don't even know Gilliam's first name, but I'm calling him Maze Gilliam because that was Chris Rock's name and head of state. So I'm going to keep it real at that.
Love that.
I thought you'd get a head of state reference today, but here we are. Stolen from the Buffalo Bills. Gave Draymond Jones, outside rusher, call him an outside linebacker, a contract, came over from the Ravens. And then you got Hill there from the Dolphins. Going to be like a backup tight end trying to make the team here. But what are your thoughts still right out of the gate of, free agency the first week? How do you grade
it? Right out of the gate, I mean, great receiver pick. I think that's a very, like, where Stephon Diggs is at his career, I think you're basically getting the same thing. I think he can easily get 1,000 yards, Dobbs. I think that's a great pickup. Elijah, he needs to stay healthy. He's had 5 years on the Jets. Three of them have season-ending injuries. two torn triceps, which is
different.
It's not like that's a unique one. That's not, that doesn't happen to a lot of people. But yeah, when he plays, he's good.
Yeah, yeah. He's legitimately hurt.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Like, big injuries there. Byard's fucking awesome. That's a great pickup, I think.
Oh, 100%.
Love to see that. I mean, having him hawking over, you know, Christian Gonzalez, like, I think great secondary. I think that's an unbelievable pick.
Jalen Hawkins had an incredible year, but I think that's that has to be an upgrade. He had 73. Yeah. I get that interceptions are, you know, you just happen to be in the right spot, but if you have 7 in a season, that means you're doing something right.
Oh, absolutely.
On his first rodeo, I think he's a 3-time All-Pro guy. I know he's like RH now, which is crazy to think like that's old in the NFL. But I think that's an upgrade personally. I think he's going to bring a lot of leadership in that locker room. I wanted to touch upon getting the receiver here because I should have done the 24-hour rule, but tweets were kind of rolling out. As soon as Dobbs got signed, I'm like, all right, so you cut Diggs and gave Romeo Dobbs his money. And then I kind of thought about it for a little bit. He's 26 years old. Stephon Diggs is 33. He hasn't, you know, he's not really an outspoken guy. I think that could, you know, pay dividends for this receiving core. Obviously, maybe there's more to go here with, you know, signings, trades, things like that. But
of course,
I at the end of the day, I do like the signing, and I do look at too where, you know, the Packers could have thrown to him more. They just like to spread it out more, and that hasn't been like a Jordan Love thing. That's been like Aaron. That's been everyone that's ever played quarterback for Green Bay as long as like we've kind of been relevant watching football. I think they like to spread it out more of like what a Tom Brady did back in the day with the Patriots there.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like they don't really like they have had really good receivers, but like the Packers, they don't get a 1,000-yard receiver too much over there.
Yeah, no, I think he's capable of it. I mean, I did break down some film, you know, a couple days ago. Really got after it. But he seems like a great red zone target. He's taking 87, which he was on Green Bay, but 87 with the Patriots now. That's a lot of responsibility. I'm hoping the best for him. I hope he is the clear number one if he, you know, if nothing else happens.
Yeah. And in regards to Gilliam fullback, if the Patriots go out of their way for a fullback, like I haven't watched the guy, don't know much on him yet, but they go out of their way for a fullback, he's probably a fucking tank.
Yeah, especially he got good money for like a fullback.
Yeah, and exactly.
You think a goal line, whenever they put Henderson in, they could never get over the hump. You need someone in there. Kyrus Katanga, that was nice, but he's just a big butt. He didn't know what he was doing. Gilliam's gonna come in there and like the fridge and just nail people over.
And he's fucking great at that. Yeah. The Chiefs should utilize that because he is good at just absolutely trucking people.
Because we all think about, you know, Drake May adding to the receiver corps. I still think the strength of this offense is their running game with the tandem there. And I think Henderson can only get better. His ceiling's so high, he could end up, you know, after the second or third year being a top five running back in the league. I think that's
completely agree. Yeah, completely agree.
Yeah. And Stevenson is a good foundation piece of, you know, having that veteran leadership in that, you know, running back room, but also being a dog when it comes down to it. He obviously came back from having tough fumbles and ended up having a pretty productive season. But I think that's how this team's going to run, you know, run the ball to set up the play action pass. You're going to have to find a way to have the quarterback get rid of the ball quicker because you can blame the offensive line all they want, and they definitely did suck in the playoffs, but they played better defenses. But at the end of the day, quarterback's got to get rid of the ball quicker. I think that's bottom line there.
No, 100%. And the offensive line was pretty questionable going into the year. And I know everyone in the schedule and stuff, but they held up throughout the year pretty well. But then the playoffs and those defenses just fucking
every game
absolutely exposed. Yeah.
If you think about it, like they struggled every game. He didn't play one good game, Drake May, like in the playoffs.
No, and he definitely needs to be better in the playoffs. But that's also they have other shit to fix than Drake May in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with that. It starts with the offensive line. It starts with the people up in front because they got – I mean, I get the Seahawks are a great team. They deserve to win the Super Bowl, like we said, but they got bullied.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No,
they would have got bullied if we played the Rams too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, Will Campbell literally had like the worst game that offensive lineman had in the entire season.
Yeah, not tough. I didn't put it in the 10 questions, but what a crock of shit this news thing is of them coming back from the Broncos win. They won the AFC Championship, get back to Boston, and then they got blown up by police at 3 a.m. They stay because they probably paid the restaurant. I forget what it was. It actually, that restaurant had an espresso martini stand of the martini showdown that me and Magic went to. I forget what it's called. Is it Estella? I don't want to be wrong there, but
I think it's Estella.
Yeah. The report was they were, you know, 3:04 a.m. past like legal beers selling whatever. And then they brought in like strippers, things like that. I mean, let the boys be boys. This is every team does this, and not every team wins the conference championship every year. I think this should be a no story. And people saying, oh, this made them unprepared for the Super. This was 13 days before the damn game.
Yeah. I personally would celebrate and get drunk after winning the AFC championship.
Yeah. I mean, we're irresponsible and not professional athletes, so that's a little different. But, like, I think they deserved at least a night out.
Oh, yeah. You get 13 days off, like you just said. Well, not days off, but you get what I'm saying.
If this was like a college football, like if this was like an SEC town, that would have been another weekend.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And no one would have known about it either.
No, nor cared. Yeah,
nor cared. No, no, no.
Yeah,
no.
Fucking crazy. My favorite pickup, though, was definitely Kevin Byard, the safety there, because I just think he's going to bring so much to an already stacked defense. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can bring to the table because this secondary has a chance to be in, not the, like top talk about top fives. I think they have a chance to be number one. I think they're going to be that good.
They do. I think I completely agree.
Yep. Talked about Diggs losing Kyrus Tonga sucks. Having backups is where you start in the draft. Like they have Barmore and obviously Milton Williams. Tonga was kind of the guy behind them on the defensive tackle, you know, spot. That's a great, you know, I think that's a great third, fourth round guy. You kind of, you know, pick and choose your battles. But great to see. I think they're going to have more depth than they did last year. I think that was something that was a cause for concern. But I think I'm going to give it right now, because free agency is not over. I'll give it like a B. I think they've done pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I'll even go B plus.
Yeah. Before we kick it into. And I've been saving this topic for the 10 questions, so I don't want to ruin it. So before we hop into the 10 questions presented by the offices of Patrick J. Foley, like I mentioned, if you're looking for proper legal representation for first-time homebuyers, the legal part of real estate, look no further than there, located at 265 Willard Street, Quincy, Massachusetts. I know this segment is sponsored by there, but I also want to mention another sponsor, the Fowler House Cafe. Located at 1049 Hancock Street. I was in there last Saturday night. Got myself a couple of nice Bud Lights. Cheeseburger Club, probably the best one I've ever had. Mix it in there with wheat, cheddar. Had the ketchup on the side. They're even throwing honey mustard at me. We were filling it up and getting after it.
Getting after it.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
You were the idiot. I know. No, I came after the food.
Oh, you came after the food. Yeah, it was good stuff. But I mean, that nice prime rib sandwich. Even if you want to just go like apps and pizzas, I think pizzas was like an 8 in the 8s for Prez. So they got some good stuff over there.
Oh yeah.
All right. Question number one on the Patriots talk here: should we stop hoping for a trade for AJ Brown?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's just like I don't see it happening. I also like. Don't really care.
Yeah, I care too much. I think that would make their offseason go to like an A because like at this point, like if a first and a second next year or something like that, I don't care. I want a number one receiver and we haven't had one in a long time. I know Stephon Diggs was that good last year. I think he would bring this offense to it. And I think he'd be good for the culture. I don't think he is a culture guy at all in Philly the way that situation is. But I think if he came in here, he'd come in with some steam, obviously have the relationship with Mike Vrabel. I mean, everything I've said, people have been saying the last 2 months about this guy. So I'm just hoping maybe June 1st or whenever they want to come down with it, that he gets traded here. But I would hate to see him for another team.
And I'm saying no because I don't think it's going to happen. Not obviously A.J. Brown fucking makes us better. A.J. Brown is instantly the best receiver in that receiving room, like by miles. But I just not seeing it happening at the moment.
Yeah,
but
no,
he wants the fuck out of there, so it is possible, I guess. There is a slight chance, but some team will probably offer something crazy, like, I don't know, just one of those random teams like the Saints or something. Just give them everything.
Well, the other team that said they're in on is the Rams, which is insane. So they wanted to be Puka Nacua, Davante Adams, and A.J. Brown. That's all number one. And none of them are like 1A, 1B, 1C. Like, these are all ones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're solid, especially Nacua and Adams. I mean, that could be like 1-2 receivers in the fucking league.
Yeah. No, if Stafford doesn't win the if they get A.J. Brown and Stafford doesn't win the MVP, something went wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I hope he comes, though. I think it would turn your offense into, you know, you could beat anyone at all costs with any type of scheme or, you know, we're going to pass this game, or we're going to run, we're going to find a different way to exploit you every time coming around. But this A.J. Brown pipe dream, I don't know from experience, but plenty of, you know, former colleagues, friends, you know, they've been to strip clubs. And, you know, what do they do when you go to the strip club? They offer you a dance, and then after the dance, they try to bring you in the back room. And not me, but some people think, you know, that's a good idea. And that's going to be, you know, the dream. That it's something is definitely going to happen. This A.J. Brown thing is those girls trying to sneak you in the back and take all the money you got. That's the same thing. It's not going to happen. What you, your end goal is not going to be what happens.
So well put.
Nailed it. Yeah.
Question number two. What should the Patriots attack in the first round of the draft?
First round of the draft. I mean, you got 31, so you might try to bolster the offensive line even more.
Yeah.
Because I think no matter what, even with the free agency signings, like, you just need shit there. You need it.
I think I would already, like, chalk up Will Campbell as an offensive tackle as a loss and just try to find the best tackle available and try to get someone where, okay, we're going to move Will Campbell into a guard position, right or left guard, whatever it takes. But I would – that pipe dream, I get he was a rookie last year, and I get there's room to grow. But I think if you just throw him at guard, things are going to happen better for him. I compare it a lot to – I know these are two different positions, but Devin McCourty came in here as a cornerback and a first-round pick. He ended up being one of the best safeties in Patriot history. I think if you transition to where his strengths could be, which is a left or right guard, I think that's the better play. If you can – I'm looking at Tankathon right now. Offensive tackle from Clemson is projected to go number 31, Blake Miller. This guy's 6'7", 320 pounds. Sign me up.
Yeah, but his fucking arm length is fucking what the people want.
Yeah, no, they should really put that out there. It really did. Like, the thing was like, okay, but as long as he gets to the spot, he couldn't get to the spot either. So, I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah.
You go.
He definitely never fully recovered from that injury, though. That definitely did affect his play. Like, I think you're completely right with we can still use a tackle and move him to guard. But he was definitely, like, after that injury, just like, he lost a step.
Yeah, and all these teams that you played in the playoffs, why were they so good defensively? Because they had great edge rushers. He had to take on the best edge rusher of all. That game with the Texans with Danielle Hunter, that guy's a fucking stud.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And fucking when he's not running out, you fucking Will Anderson is. And yeah. Like, that defensive line's nasty.
I can't believe they put up even 20. That was the best defense I've seen in a long time. And it's a damn – I mean, we lucked out, but it's a damn shame CJ Stroud sucked so bad to where they, he lost them that game. And it was 120% his fault.
No, yeah, no, that was absolutely puking on yourself. And the Stroud, like, he's pretty good. But, man, was he not that day.
Yeah, credit to the Patriots defense. But there was a couple throws where I'm like, this is the guy?
Oh, my God. Oh, no. The Patriots defense was great, obviously, and took up the opportunities. But he fucking sucked.
The worst. Question number three, we're going to transition on to the ice, called the ice. Should Charlie McAvoy get the captaincy?
I said this for a long time, but the past like year or two, we might be giving it to Pasta. I think I might have flip-flopped on that. I was like, Charlie would get it for a long time, and Charlie's a worthy, great candidate. Like, I wouldn't, like, Charlie deserves that, but, like, Pasta's been there, and he's been on his grind, whoever the fuck's on his line, whoever he's playing with, like, it could go either way between them, but they're both worthy. I think I'm Team Pasta currently.
Yeah, no, I threw this question in there just to kind of see where your head is at. I think this should be no question. David Pastrnak, he's the best player on the team by far. He basically has the longest tenure. He's completely transferred his game this year where he's not really he can still score, you know, verbatim. But, like, he's been way more of a playmaker this year. I think if you give the C to anyone else, it's you have way more of a problem than you actually think you have. If you go all this way just to not give David Pastrnak the captain, that means you have a problem inside the locker room.
And yeah,
I think he should have it now. If they don't give it to him by going into next season, I think there's a huge issue there.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked they didn't pick one just because like obviously when you lose the captain mid-season, fucking you don't have a captain the rest of the season. That's fair. But then, you know, like you pick one after, in my opinion. Especially when you have two tenured guys, like whichever one, if they had picked one. Like, someone should have it.
Yeah, whoever makes those decisions, both worthy. Whether it's Marco Sturm, I bet they didn't have the expectation that this year was going to be, you know, contending-wise, at least for a playoff spot. So they probably refrained. That's the only thing I can kind of think of. But, I mean, it's been entertaining. They obviously lost the other night against San Jose. That was a tough one. But they've been playing pretty good hockey, but they got a lot of teams breathing down their neck. It's going to be a tough stretch here to try to get it done. My next question here, question number four, can the Bruins tread enough water to make the postseason? Currently, they stand in the last playoff spot, 1 point above the Blue Jackets and 1 point below the Red Wings. They've all played the same number of games. Actually, the Red Wings have a game in hand, so you have an opportunity today to get in the first wild card.
Yeah, no, and I think, I mean, it's definitely there. I mean, you gotta tread the water, you gotta do that, but I mean, you have just as good a shot as all those teams. I think you're better than Columbus, so just stick the course. Detroit, they've been looking good. They've lost two in a row, though, so they're kind of struggling, but fucking Sabres, man.
Yeah, here we go, Buffalo, huh? That's a team that's, I think they're first place in the Atlantic right now. They're looking up to Tage Thompson, obviously one of the best players in hockey. Your next five games here, we got the Capitals at 3 p.m. today, recording on a Saturday. You got Jersey at Montreal, Winnipeg, and Detroit. So you got a bunch of teams here that are all in kind of playoff contention. So, I mean, they're basically already starting the playoffs in March, just trying to, you know, like I said, tread water, try to get there.
Oh yeah, every game matters. I mean, you want at least one fucking per game for the foreseeable future.
Yeah,
you need it. I mean, you obviously always want that, but you need it right now.
2 months ago, or like All-Star break, whatever, I would have said like, you know, that I don't think they're gonna have enough to get there. But they're a month away, and they're sitting in the playoff spot right now. I don't think there's an excuse to where like, you know, you're sitting there. You know, come the first week of the playoffs and you're not in it. I don't think there's an excuse not to be in the playoffs now. I think you have a chance to, you know, contend against these teams. Hopefully the guys who have stepped up and played good hockey continue to do so. Cause you know, if they're not scoring, these are going to be tough 2-1, you know, 3-2 games. Geeky obviously leading the way with 34 goals. Pasternak's got 78 points already. Great stuff. I mean, Pavel Zacha, who I fucking hate, 19 goals. I'm going down the list here. They have at least 10 guys with over 13 goals. That's fucking huge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They, no, they're spreading it out well. They're playing good hockey. Like, there's no teams that, like, they can't play with. Like, of course, we've had a few, you know, throwaway games, but that happens to cup contenders. Like, sometimes you lose fucking 5-1 or something. Like, that happens.
Yeah, that San Jose game the other night was tough. They outshot. I'm not a big, like, outshot guy. It's about making sense of your opportunity. But, like, they outshot the shit out of them, and, like, they played better hockey that San Jose just got the bounces.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. But like, they can, like, a 7-game series against the Boston Bruins is not going to be easy for any team.
No. And Swayman's been playing better. I hated his comments or whatever. I just don't like whenever he's up in the press. But he's been playing better. And Corpusalo, I feel like, has too. Besides the Nashville game.
Yeah. No. Corpusalo's been fucking great.
Yeah. So it's a good 1-2. It's good to see that. Even though we lost, like, Ullmark a couple of years ago, they're able to get another number two and kind of step in. And I feel like every 5 games, Swayman's playing 3, Corpusalo's getting 2, so that's a pretty good mix.
Absolutely.
Great to see. Staying on the hockey, question number is this 5. Would you take a Boston current championship away for the USA winning gold, which they did, you know, couple weeks ago? We didn't have an episode that week to cover it, so this is the question to cover. Would you take away a Boston championship? Forget the Red Sox, you're not a Sox fan, but like one of those championships for the USA gold.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was fucking electric. Like not without question. Overtime beating Canada.
You haven't beat
that's
Canada.
That's fucking easy. Yeah, no, that's not even a question. Like fucking... Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
whatever it takes to keep that. That
two
was
things
fucking
got
amazing.
Answered that day. You got Hellebuck, who, you know, hasn't been able to step up in a big game, played his best game of his life.
Save of the century, like, dude. That one off the stick. That was the save of the
unbelievable.
Century.
Unbelievable. And then Connor McDavid stays the bridesmaid, loses with the game on the line. He had a chance to get it done.
Shout out McAvoy. He saved the game too.
Yeah, he had a save. That was great. He was kind of, you know, just a body for most of the games. He was just kind of laying people out and getting penalties. But he ended up stepping up big there in that gold medal game.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember seeing some things that were like Canadian fans being like mad about the 3-on-3 and shit. It's like, dude, your first line 3-on-3 is the 3 best players on earth. Like, shut the fuck up. That's not for us.
And how, like, I was at, actually, that was even the cooler part. Game was at 8 a.m. We were all at our local, you know, brewery, whatever. Come, you know, 8:30. That game-winning goal, you were kind of thrown off. Like, did he score? Did he not?
And yep. Then,
like,
oh, big time.
Trying to cut in. I was just like, a little anticlimactic. I would love to see a little, like, right there, but you got your licks in at the end. They're going nuts.
They were like 3 people in the stands in like Team USA jerseys that started jumping up, and you could see it because like you couldn't really tell yet, but they were going crazy, and I was like, oh, they did it! Like, let's fucking go. Jack Hughes, legend, absolute legend.
Yeah.
Losing a tooth and scoring to beat Canada for the first time since to win gold, like, like.
And then they had the big snowstorm was like that night or whatever, so they couldn't fly into New York. You know where they flew into? They flew into Miami, Florida. Had a night at 11. Canadian columnists got pissed. They said enough is enough with the celebrating. Shoot, we're gonna celebrate this all fucking year. Maybe the next 4 years until we play again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, then the best part is the women's defeated Canada in heartbreaking fashion, too. Like, absolute brutal week for Canada that week.
Tough one. Tough one. Another one last night. We'll get to that on another question. But Canada's not looking good. USA? USA.
Yeah. Lost the World Series, too.
Yeah, lost the World Series, too. And I was actually rooting for the U.S. that night where – You should have been rooting for the Blue Jays that night. But as soon as someone started chanting USA, I'm like, all right, fuck the Blue Jays.
Exactly.
Question number six. Transitioning onto the hardwood here. Are the Celtics the team to beat in the East?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's pretty
you
fair.
You were like two, three games out without Jason Tatum?
Yep.
And like getting Jason Tatum makes you like
I think getting the first seed possible, maybe. But I think even though you want home advantage, like I think we can beat the Pistons if they have the home advantage. Like I think yeah, we're I think definitely better than
them. I don't think it matters at all. I agree with that. I just think all these guys stepping up where a lot of them were like bench, like not even in the rotation players a couple years ago. You're talking about like Namis Keita, who's been unbelievable for this team, basically averaging almost a double-double. I think Baylor Shireman, you know, in the rotation now, nailing threes left and right. Vucic got hurt, so Luke Garza's kind of jumped in. He's been great. Obviously, Peyton Pritchard and Derek White are the most underrated players in basketball. I think Derek White has been so underrated for so long that he's just not anymore. But I'll still, like, put him in that category where he should be in a conversation as the top player in basketball. I mean, I know he played for Team USA a year or two ago, whatever, but he is – he's whenever his contract ends and he wants to get a payday, he's gonna get paid wherever he wants to go.
Oh yeah. Did you see Shaq's comments on Baylor Shireman?
No, what'd he say?
He was like, I would never let no man named Baylor Shireman score a point on me.
That's a fair point.
He was like, who he played for? Like he literally like didn't know who he was. But when you're Shaq, you can do that.
Yeah. So other teams in the East, I'm looking at it right now. The Cavs have been playing pretty good. We beat the Cavs the other day. The Celtics coming off two straight losses, but to the two best teams in the league. They had – and then Brown gets ejected in the Spurs game. Tatum and White don't play in the OKC game, and they still almost win. Like, they're playing hard against these good teams with, you know – limited guys, and they're going to the playoffs here where, you know, Detroit is five games ahead of them now, and you have the Knicks, the Cavs right behind them. Look at the Orlando Magic at the five seed. And actually, what's your take on Bam Adebayo in the 83-point game?
Absolutely just hilarious. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, if you asked me who the guy would be to pass Kobe's 81 game, I would literally probably give you 1,000 answers before I said Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, no. Everyone's like getting pissed because I think he had like over 40 free throws. I was like, dude, that's the game. If you haven't watched the NBA recently, which I don't really, besides like Celtics games, like that's it. People just drawing fouls, getting to the line. I was like, that is how eventually that was going to end. Like Kobe, someone being Kobe's 81 was free throws.
Oh, yeah. And you like, you can slander, like, I don't know, like 40 or maybe like high 30 point games for like dude just was taking free throws and shit. Like, the 83 is nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well,
it doesn't matter if it's free throws or shit. Like, 83 points is fucking crazy.
Yeah. I was listening the other day in Kobe's 81 game. I think he only had 20 points off free throws. So that dude was just making a rain. I think he had like close to 50 shot attempts. Like, that's fucking sick.
Oh yeah. Like, no, yeah. No, if you're like comparing both, like Kobe's is way more impressive. Like, obviously it's two less points. Like, obviously it's way less impressive, but like, you can't disregard 83.
Yeah. 83.
Like, his box score says he scored 83 points. That's fucking nuts. I don't care. It was done.
Yeah, no, I'm all in on, I hate the slander. I think 83 is 83 to your point.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
It's insane. People are getting so pissed. It's like, dude, this is the NBA. Like, you got to get with the times, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's just fucking insanity. It's absolutely incredible game, Shud. Like, well done. Yeah. Good for you.
And then I another question on the Celtics. Should Jaylen Brown get more consideration for MVP?
Yes. I think he should. I think he should be top five, if not top three. Like, I don't think there's a realistic shot he wins it.
Yeah.
But
but definitely like high consideration.
Yeah. So right now, SGA is predicted to win. He just had like just pass Will Chamberlain for like most 20 point games in a row, which is, it's like a crazy number, which is insane. Like 20 points every game. Like you're not going to have an off game. Again, he goes to the free throw line again, but again, that's the NBA. That's how it works now. And then yeah. You got Jokic, Cunningham, Victor Wembanyama, and then you got Jalen Brunson at plus 6,500. I think he should be a little bit more than plus 6,500. I mean, they're 20 games over 500. They're playing good ball, and no one expected him to be here. He's averaging close to 30 points. I think he should have more, you know, recognition, but I don't think, to your point, I don't think he should be the MVP.
No, yeah. No, other than SGA, obviously Jokic, and I think Cade is probably the top three. And Cade deserves a lot of credit because, dude, the Pistons have been bottom of the barrel for a very long time.
Yeah, no, it's kind of insane that they've already gotten back because they've been so bad for so long. And then he comes in, seems like they're not going to get it done. And he kind of made another step. They got some guys behind him, and now they're playing good ball.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Very, like, absolute credit to, like, the Pistons, just, like, organization. Just great job. Great turnaround. Because even Cunningham himself looked a little shaky his first, like, season or two. Oh, yeah. What's up, sir?
What's up, dude?
Had some trouble logging there.
You're good. What's up, Magic Mike? He entered the chat.
Not much. How we doing?
Couldn't be better. It's St. Patrick's Day weekend.
That's true.
what kind of cigs we got today?
Camel Crush.
Camel Crushes.
Of course.
Why I'd even ask.
Yep. Still loyal.
I'm hearing Joey Boats' new mixtape is coming out.
New album.
Sorry. I'm. You know me. I'm not good with music.
Yeah. Watch yourself, Naz.
I don't know when, but yeah, sounds like he's got it recorded. It's good to go.
Nice. Love it.
A perfect question, because we're on the 10 questions presented by Patrick J. Foley here. I think you'd have a good take on this. In or out on post-playing Tom Brady?
On who?
Like Tom Brady now, post-career. In or out? In?
Yeah.
In.
I'm gonna say in, but I'm as out as I've ever been with Tom Brady. I think the whole I have no dog in the fight fact that he was not even entertaining a trade with Max Crosby to the Patriots.
Disrespectful. Guy won you all those rings. He can
like shut up, Naz.
He can literally say
did you see him thrown in tight jeans yesterday? It was awful.
He's been doing that. Have you seen him like dancing? He was in tight jeans and like that. That's why everyone made fun of him. That wasn't from fucking Boston.
Best quarterback in the world.
There's no denying that. I'm very grateful. That is not the question, Magic. I was very grateful for his playing career. I will never forget that. But the post playing career has kind of gone a little dull.
He's got you talking. We're not talking about – what's our quarterback? Oh, Drake May. I legit forgot who he was. and I just want to add this. The fact that they gave you hope all the way up to your bachelor party weekend to just crush your soul, I think it makes it that much better.
Hey, we got in the dance, so that was a good
season.
But there's no moral victories. I agree with you. There's no moral victories.
That's got to be the most crushing of all. And it was a beatdown, too.
It was a beatdown. It was really bad.
An ounce of hope at any moment at that watch party.
There's
maybe
nothing.
Minus the first couple minutes.
Even the pizza wasn't tasting as good as I thought.
Yeah. I mean,
I should have known right from there.
Let down. They got your hopes to a pinnacle high just to drop you from the top of the fucking building.
It was sad. Intern Andrew was kind of lit up. He was pumped though, because he did have a shout out, Intern Andrew. He lost all his bets beside the end when Drake May threw a pick six. He had a pick six anytime. So he nailed
it. Nice.
He was screaming the whole time. He was a nut.
He was in one.
That's a good bet.
Yeah, Intern Andrew, his unit price is more than most. Let's put it that way.
We've
gone over this. It's like asking how much someone makes a year. You don't ask him.
Fair enough. He had a rough day, though?
No, he came back well. I got some stories outside of him.
That one Drake May bet saved him?
It probably broke him even, but I don't know. I don't know the numbers. I got some more stories of him when we're off the recording.
Okay.
Yeah. Question number nine. Here we go. Is the WBC worth the watch, or is it a joke like the manager of Team USA is making it?
It's definitely like more of a joke than like the Olympics or something, but like, I don't know. Like, it's good baseball. Like, it's got all the best players in the world. Like, the games are interesting to watch, but like, it's definitely like, I don't know. It's not must see. I would not go to the out to 8 a.m. for the championship of this game.
No. And I'm kind of catching myself now that, like, you know, Team Canada in hockey was like the team like that you just root against. I kind of think Team USA is that team in the WBC. Like, I love Roman Anthony, love me some Garrett Whitlock, but like, I don't know, dude, they're playing like Team Brazil and like Manny Ramirez's like kid hit like two home runs. Like, I was rooting for Brazil at one point. I'm like, this is fucking awesome.
You just hate Aaron Judge, you loser.
Kinda.
Is Manny Brazilian? He's Dominican.
His wife is, or something like that. Actually, Magic, it's pretty good. Like, if you're 1% or like you've eaten like chicken palm before, like, you can play for Team Italy. Like the rules are kind of.
Yeah, no, it's not that strict. You can kind of just like do it.
You pick your country pretty much.
Yeah. Like, Jaren Duran played for Team Mexico, and I think he barely has any connection to there.
Love it.
And Team Italy is just.
Keep it loose. I was saying, pick your loyalty.
Yeah, Team Italy is just all American Italians, and the Israel team was all American Jews. So, like, that's how it goes.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Who we
go USA.
USA or DR tomorrow?
I personally love what the DR is bringing, but you got Paul Skeens on the mound, dude. I don't know. That guy's a fucking animal.
Mow him down. Let's
he's
go.
He's probably the best pitcher I've, like, at least stuff I've seen since, like, prime Verlander. Like, I get Kershaw was kind of a different pitcher, like, different ways to get you out, but this guy's a fucking horse. Talking about Verlander, talking about Roger Clemens. Dude, Paul Skeens is a bad man. Wait till he gets on the Yankees and actually, you know, plays for a team that wants to win a championship.
I think those years of DeGrom.
That's true.
Like, just shoving it by you. Like, I'm going to throw it 100 and you're just not going to fucking touch it. Like, see you later.
And that lineup is going to, because they got Soto, they have Tatis. Who else do they got? They got, the O'Neill Cruz guy has been, I think he's batting like 600.
Oh, yeah. Well, that guy, he's like a judge where, like, if that bat touches the baseball, it's going like 120 miles an hour. Like, yeah. Wherever it goes, like, even if it's hitting in the dirt, like, it's going 120.
Magic, you get the glove out yet from the trunk? Are you practicing yet? Softball's coming up soon.
Oh, plenty of time. Long season. Ready to win the ship. I'm mentally very prepared. Physically, decent prepared. Ready to rip.
I've been throwing a lot of batting practice when I'm coaching, so my arm's pretty live right now.
Love that.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Mouse squad, Naz.
Oh, yeah. Breaking news. The Irish pub softball team is no more.
Sad day.
Sad day.
I was told this last night, and you guys suck.
It was pretty sad to see in the group chat, just no one fighting for their team. No one fighting. A lot of just whatever.
Where's Coop? How did Coop let this happen?
Because Coop plays for five different teams. He doesn't give a fuck.
Coop just lightened his load.
Oh, my God. You guys are the worst.
I'm surprised not one person fighting for that squad. Tough to see. Like, just dead.
I fought for them for so long, and my fight's done.
No one willing to take leadership. I almost wanted to step in and say, let's keep this ball club going.
Yeah. GM magic. That's how it should have been.
All the cheers. But I mean, I see a team. I see some guys that want to play ball. It's just tough to watch. But I guess we'll take them all on mouse. Who's the best we can recruit? We already got you. Who else should we be poaching from the Irish?
I mean, Karin plays for 17 different teams, so I doubt you get him.
Who?
Karin plays for 17 different teams, so I doubt
you get him. He's already on Mouse. He's on
Mouse. Oh, yeah, that's true. But he's on, like, three other teams in the same league. Either way, I'll send you a prospect list. We'll try him out at the field down the
street. We might have to hold a tryout for the Irish pub team to see who makes it to the big leagues.
We'll have Anton pitch. And then see what's good content.
I always wanted to do that with like randos, just host a softball trial, like see who can make the team as a ringer.
You'd get some characters.
That would be great.
Like people that see the flyers and show up to a fucking softball tryout, like you'd catch some people.
I can just imagine all over the city.
I'm just thinking. I'm thinking of that dude Tex showing up. Tex is the ultimate like guy who just showed up out of fucking the closet.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's asleep in his car. I'll leave it at that. But that's a killer.
Oh yeah, there'd be at least one of them who like absolute missiles off the bat. It'd be like, who the fuck is this guy?
Like, no, it's like the Invincible with Mark Wahlberg there, the Eagles recruit. They all sucked, but you're gonna get that one guy maybe, and that's why you're there.
Exactly.
My last question here for the 10 questions. What is the top movie TV show you're watching right now?
So Monarch Legacy of Monsters Godzilla show on Apple TV just came back with season 2. Wow. So I'm locked in.
The trailers are getting me. I'm not committed, but it looks solid.
Oh, it's good. It's good. Kurt Russell. It's got everything I want.
I got a good one. Just came out like last week on HBO. Right up your alley, Magic. Up anyone's alley, really. But DTF, St. Yep. Louis.
Yep. Have you seen that? I love it.
Jason Bateman.
Stranger Things. Great.
Yeah,
show.
There's like a basically like a sex club going on. It's fucking raunchy.
It's hot. Yeah, it's hot. Nothing better than a marital affair.
Yeah, like this, like, I guess spoilers here, but like, guy just gets his face sat on. Like, it was insane.
Yeah, yeah. I was hot.
I was.
No King Shaman here on the pod.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to throw out Paradise this season. I don't know if you guys have tuned in for season 1, but season 2 is throwing some serious heat. I thought this show would be like a one and done type season show, and it's only getting better. So Paradise is must watch TV on Hulu.
I've heard great things. I have not caught it yet though.
It's excellent.
I've seen like previews and stuff, but I need that's another one I got to tackle. I've been watching some reality TV and some girly stuff, so I need to get away from that for a little bit.
Let's hear what you're watching.
I just finished the Love is Blind season 10 in Columbus, Ohio. What a bunch of losers in Ohio, huh? Next season is in Boston. I wish someone we knew was on it.
Yeah.
I did find out that I know the person who casts the people on Love is Blind. Isn't that crazy?
Really? Yeah, that is fucking wild. Yeah.
Oh, next, Naz. So you could have got us in.
Yeah, but I don't think you want to be on it, dude. I think it's bad pub. I think it's bad pub.
Yeah.
Unless you're still in the mentality of any pub's good pub, then I'd have all over it.
I've never watched Irish pub. Shows.
Yeah. It's pretty unique. I'm more there for the slander. It's pretty good. The Jessica Simpson's like ex boyfriend is like Nick Lachey. He's like one of the hosts. I don't know if you remember him.
I remember him. 98 degrees. Remember him?
98 degrees. 98 degrees. Nailed it.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard that name since like 2009.
Yeah, him and his wife now like host the whole thing, and
he's hanging on by a thread.
Yeah, yeah. He's probably making good money though. I think they've done like 10 seasons.
Yeah. Wow.
So Boston next. I just hope it's not all yuppies. I hope you get like some, like, I don't know, like Al Radcliffe just letting her rip.
He'd be good on there. I'm sure. Give me some Showtime. Yeah. Give me Showtime. Showtime.
On maybe. Yeah, they have to sign an NDA because it probably already happened. So they have to sign like an NDA so they like can't talk about it until everything's released. So he might have been on it, just didn't say anything to us.
Yeah,
that would be amazing.
Showtime on Love is Blind. That is something I would. I'd be glued. He'd be great on that. He would like propose and everything. That's like how it goes. And then he would just go on a nice trip, and then just bail. It'd be fucking great.
100%. You already know that ending.
Yeah, what a guy that he is. That wraps up the 10 questions presented by Patrick J. Foley. Last sponsor here I want to announce, Drifter's Kitchen and Bar, located in the center of Hancock Street and Quincy Center, 1464 Hancock Street. If you're looking for some proper eats, I know they're going to be getting after it this week with the NCAA tournament coming up. Later this week, you got World Baseball Classic. I mean, we went there for a brunch, guys. You guys saw firsthand. That place is a wagon.
Well, yeah, great place.
I got dinner there Thursday night. Had a nice pie.
Ooh.
I got good things to say.
What kind of pie?
Bacon, jalapeno, and pineapple.
Oh, that's your shit. That's you.
They had it on the menu. I didn't even have to, like, specifically order it like that. That's one of the options. So I'd love to see that.
Surprised they didn't call it the Magic Mike.
They should have.
Yep.
Great PB&J.
PB&J, wow.
Yeah, by my office, there's one. They have that pizza, but they like it's PB&J, like on the menu.
Wonderful. I would have never even thought it like that.
Yeah, no, I saw it before, like reading the like lower letters. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, what kind of maniac would order that? And then I was like, pineapple, bacon, jalapeno. I was like, oh, nice.
I kind of have I think we've gone over everything. Magic, what your thoughts about Mike Evans leaving the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for greener pastures?
I didn't know it.
You didn't know it? Oh, yeah. He went to the Niners. What's in the Niners?
Tough news. Does that mean they're pretty much hosed?
No, they got a bunch of young receivers, so they're going to be okay. I think it was the right move.
We're in the worst division in the league, so I mean anything's
possible. It's only getting better, though. It's only getting better.
Only better. Yeah, maybe it's time for me to hitch my fucking wagon to a new team.
Yeah, maybe if San Diego gets a football team, you'd be in.
Yeah, I know one thing. I'm not hitching it to the Pats. That was a fluke season. That was a fluke year.
We don't want you.
They won't be back. For wait till you see how rough it goes next year.
Did you watch a hockey game a couple weeks ago?
I missed it. I was skiing, but I heard it was an all-timer, which sucks.
It was unbelievable.
It was fucking amazing.
How were the pub vibes?
Fantastic.
I was at Kilroy's. Vibes were high there, too. Give them a shout-out.
Like, vibes could not have been higher.
Is the pub in the mix today, tomorrow?
Bruins start in 3 minutes. He's very in the mix.
You going?
Yeah.
Have to stop in. Naz, you in?
I got to go to the North End tonight. Intern Brian is home from L.A., so I got to go get some dinner in the North End tonight.
Okay. Mr. Yes. Fancy.
Mr. Fancy. You fancy, tell intern
Brian to schmuck it up at the Irish.
Yeah, he won't go. I think he's already in. He's already in town right now. I'm gonna go in there soon.
Yeah.
If only there was a place for you to pregame.
Yeah. Damn it! All right, boys. Episode 205 in the books. Unless you guys got anything else. Have a hell of a Saturday. Great to reconvene with the boys. It's been over like 5 weeks. Hopefully we can do this sooner. We get two free hours a month from StreamYard or whatever. We took up an hour, so maybe 2 weeks we'll come back and do another hour.
Love it. Love
Perfect.
it.
Perfect.